Hello, you're listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast for Sunday the 13th of March 2016. Hello everybody, and before we hop into it, wild style as the TYs would say, I've got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of first. Just to let you all know that the incident with the ring, namely there's a missing ring, a lot of people are claiming that it's their ring. That is now being investigated fully by the Interpol. Basically what happened was upwards of a quarter of a million people were claiming ownership of the ring, and so the police in Brussels got wind of it. They thought it was something to do with the crime ring, so basically they're involved with it now. Initially it was to be a 5-day event in Crow Park where anybody could go in and say, oh yeah, it's my ring, nice one, yeah, I'll take that back now, after completing a lie detector test. And that's ballooned. It would have taken a full solid month to see everybody. Now that we've got Interpol involved, this thing's about to go international, lad, so who knows. So if you did in fact lose a ring initially, you really should have come forward for it by now. And if you want the ring, a chance to win the ring through deception, get onto the lads at Interpol. They'll have all the details there. A few weeks ago, we were advertising for somebody to run the local newsletter. And that was a paid job, a paid position, that has now been performed for no money by the TYs. So thank you very much to the TYs. And that money that would have been going to a person will now just be absorbed for general day-to-day church maintenance, you know, making sure that the Dyson is running and hoovering up all the lint and filth, and make sure that we've got enough brass polish for all the bits of brass that we have, and of course to keep our new choir master Wayne Brown in lilts. If Wayne doesn't get a lilt, the choir, they don't sing in tune, so we've got to keep him happy. So rest assured, all that money that would have been spent on, you know, for would have paid a wage for someone, is now being used for equally useful things. So we don't need to pry into that, ask about that. So we'll leave that there. The podcast, I did mention that Lexus have given me a car. They did not specify if they wanted me to promote the fact that I had a car, so I have a car from Lexus, basically, and that's the last you'll hear about that. I did put the call out to other manufacturers of luxury cars, like BMW and Lamborghini. Only Lamborghini got back to me, and they've also given me a car. So, BMW, what are you doing? Wake up, clear the gunk out of your ears, and get me a car. So yeah, get on that. Anyone knows anyone at BMW, ask them what they're playing at. The TYs have also insisted that I put a little place for you to donate. If you want to donate money to the TYs, who keep this podcast going, you can do that on the SundaySermonPodcast.com website. And apart from that, no real other business. You're going to get the meat of everything momentarily, so I'll stop talking, stop delaying with a preamble or ramble or, you know, skidamaskoo. I should really just stop talking now and get onto the sermon, and as soon as I do that, you can enjoy the sermon, which is coming to you imminently, any minute now. But first, I would like to also, before we get on to that, I know we're still in the preamble, I'd like to just say on a personal note this week, if there's anyone listening from the Irish rugby team, thank you very much. You did us proud, and what's more than that, you made Danny at Paddy Powers very unhappy. he was in bits. He was really, really sad. He said that the franchise rights, keeping up with the payments for that, is quite difficult, and that the big payout he had to do yesterday may have finished him off. So we didn't break the bank yesterday, but We made the bookies weep, so fair play to you lads. This week in Dublin, there was a hung doll, and a lot of the TUIs were asking, Father, what does that mean from a parliamentary standpoint? What does a hung doll entail? What happens next? I told them basically it means a weird doll. That's right. It's gone all topsy-turvy inside there. It's the doll, but not as we know it, like an episode of Twilight Zone, the new batch. No, it's all gone very strange in there. I mean, there are some good independents like Mick Lowry, but there are also headbangers like all the rest of them. And it's those ones we should really be keeping an eye on, because who knows what will happen if they try and form some sort of weird government, the freak-out party, where they're going to start legalising party drugs and make it mandatory for people to just begin a sing-song on the bus. No, I think that sort of thing is really what Ireland could do without at the moment. We need stability. We need a steady hand steering the car. At the moment, Ireland is a station wagon. And Enda Kenny, who was driving it, he's gotten very sick. He had a gone-off froob, and it's certainly repeating on him now. He's sick as a dog. And Micheál Martin, his wife, I suppose, ex-wife, I guess, she's in the passenger seat, and she's saying, Enda, would you not let me drive? You're puking up froob, and you're in no state to be in charge of a car. And he's saying, oh, I'm fine, and he's not fine at all. No, he's puking up froob. And in the back of the car, we've got all the leaders of the other parties. We've got the Greens and Sinn Féin and Labour. And then at the very, very back of the car, the kind of runty kids, the dogs in the boot, you got the independents. Less Lowry, of course. In this analogy, I should stress, Lowry's driving his own car. So he's not in this car. But the government's in the car. Enda's puking up the froob. Micheál Martin's giving him grief. The Greens are in the back saying, oh, I wouldn't mind driving. The Sinn Féin are saying, it's our turn to drive. Let us drive. Labour are saying, I know we didn't do a great job trying to drive last time, but we can make up for it. And all the independents are in the back looking to legalise heroin and put it into the water supply or whatever they're after, whatever their end game is. I don't know. But we really need to let Mick, who's in the other car, drive in front of that car and, I don't know, tow it or something. Maybe Sinn Féin has a rope that they could throw out the car when it stopped at the red lights or something. They could open up the door and tie it to the front of Mick's car and let Mick drive for a bit because, you know, Mick's the man. So, you know, we're in turmoil at the moment. There's dark, weird days happening at the moment in Dáil Éireann, but I think we're going to come back from it. It might seem like all is lost at the moment, but they're good people, they're on a fair salary, and they want to help us all out. So it does seem like we're in a lot of turmoil at the moment, as I was saying to the TYs, but think back 100 years, what was going on then? I'll tell you what, it was the 4-year anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, and Irish people were similarly confused. They said, does that mean we're going to have another Titanic? I said, no, we're merely honouring the memory of the only Titanic. So yeah, it's not a very well-known story, but 150,000 Irish people got together in Cove, where the Titanic was allegedly seen last, I don't know, and they sort of made themselves into a huge ship, and they tried to sail across America in tribute, and of course, it didn't work. They're all drowned. And that was a bad issue of that day, and now we have our bad issues of this day. But also, 100 years ago, as I was telling the TYs, there was a 1916 rising where a load of lads said, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. And in a sort of a scattershot, badly organised way, tried to kick out English rule by taking over a post office and a biscuit factory. And one of the leaders of this, Porrick Pearce, a man who a lot of people said was a bit of a sexual oddball, just because he wrote love letters to his young students, and wasn't married himself and was obsessed with dying a martyr, a lot of people thought he was weird. In the same way that a lot of people, I'm sure, think Lowry in his own car is weird. Well, he's not weird. He's right. So we have to remember in moments of instability that there's lads like the not-a-paedophile Porrick Pierce and Michael Lowry, who's great, who are going to help us write our course on the journey through history that everyone in Ireland is on together. There's a lot of celebration coming up in the next week. We've got the Patrick's Day Festival celebrations. That's going to be on the 17th. And on the same day, we're going to have the 1916 commemorative jelly baby eating competition, where a few people are going to see who can put away the most jelly babies, and the first person to eat 1,916 jelly babies is declared king of the town. And of course, all the jelly babies are in the tricolour out of respect. But before that, as I mentioned, the Patrick's Day celebration. Now, if there's any people listening to this podcast, this is a podcast also, ladies and gentlemen. I should explain, Mrs. Higgins. No, it's not. You don't need to put your hands over your ears. A podcast, it means it's just a radio. This is going out on internet radio. They can hear it all over the world and indeed on the International Space Station. In fact, if there's anyone up there on the International Space Station, please say, do some skywriting. Say hello to Mrs. Higgins. She'd love it. Okay, Mrs. Higgins would not love it. Mrs. Higgins is not going to happy. It's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. Just calm down. Calm down, Mrs. Higgins. Okay. Jared, could you just take your mother out of here, please? Is that okay? Is that all right? Sorry, I was just trying to... I said the word podcast. I saw her. She looked very worried. She didn't know what was on about. And I know that she doesn't like change. She was giving out about your son going off and doing the J1. In Boston, saying it would change him forever. Would you just take her out of here? She really is not helping me at all. Please, sorry, she's just putting me off. Please. Come on, Jared, thanks. God, sorry. I'm just going to take a minute to compose myself. Hang on there. Mrs. Higgins, get out of here. Hey, look, lads, a few of you, jump into action. Get her gone. Get her out of here, all right? Thank you. Goodness gracious me. Jared, she can come back in when she calms down, all right? Not before. I'm trying to do a... I'm doing a broadcast here, / sermon. You're the width of a needle away from getting excommunicated, Jared. Now, just sit down and shut up and let me finish off the sermon. There's not much left. This week, we're celebrating St. Patrick, of course, who is one of our most famous Irishmen. As famous as Jack Charlton, actually, from England. Yet St. Patrick was himself from Wales. He was brought over as a slave, and for some reason he decided to stay on and save us all, which was very nice when you consider how unpleasant it must be being a slave. Yes, I'd imagine it would be like your neighbours in some city centre house are having a party, and they just have a key for your flat also, and they just open it up and say, the party's also happening in here. It's a bit like that happening to St. Patrick. And then St. Patrick saying, hey lads, I'm going to help clean up after this party that you had here without asking me, and that you made me co-host without checking with me beforehand. No, St. Patrick really was a great dude, as a lot of the TYs pointed out this week. And the celebration of him teaching Irish people about the three sisters on the stick, his magic stick, and how we celebrated it each year with going out and having a drink or two in his name. And I was telling the TYs about Arthur's Day, which was a fantastic incentive started by the Guinness Corporation a few years ago, where they tried to basically do Patrick's Day too, in the same way that John Lithgow's evil character in the Santa Claus movie tried to make Christmas too by using some illegally obtained magic from Dudley Moore's elf. I forget the details, really, but Arthur's Day, it was around for a few years, and it was almost too popular. People felt it was too good of a thing to maybe have. A lot of people said it was very cynical, and that a company that had gone out of its way to rob the Irish people and keep them docile through drink should really maybe back off when they're trying to just ram down our throats our history of being a country of drunken loons. But a lot of people give the Guinness family stick just because during the famine they were horrible to the Irish people. But we need to let bygones be bygones and just enjoy St. Patrick's Day for what it is, a chance for you and your family to go into an urban area to watch some, if you're in the country, some procession of tractors or underachieving GAA athletes go around the town. And it's a way for you to feel slightly scared by menacing groups of young lads in their early teens and really people who are the age that St. Patrick was when he was kidnapped. But these kids, would they have the gumption to try and save a nation from itself? I don't think so. I was on the website, thejournal.ie, and I was looking at their 9 at 9, where they have 9 news stories at 9 o'clock next to a picture of a poached egg. And the first story was a story of some toddlers drowning in a Scottish pond. And I thought, yes, I think that picture of a egg is certainly appropriate for what is 9 really, really depressing news stories. It's it's a good way of lulling you in to looking at the news with before you realise, oh, of course, the news is predominantly horrible. But not so this week. No, the rugby, as you know, the rugby lads, they were fantastic. So, you know, whatever about drowning toddlers in Scottish ponds, the Irish rugby team have certainly done the Irish people in the Irish pond a lot of... they've given us a lot of pride in this pond, this pond we call Ireland. There was more messing going on over in America with the Trumpsters' rallies have been interrupted by headbangers, that's to say the American equivalent of the People Before Profit Brigade, the Paul Murphys and all that, who think that there's nothing groovier than locking a tarnisher into a car. I went to see The Revenant with some of the TYs this week, and I was really struck by a shoe in the cinema that was thrown at me by somebody, and it gave me a black eye, and some of the TYs, they started fighting with another group of TYs who were also there with another priest, who, I'm not going to lie, I knew in the day, and he's exactly the sort of fella you'd expect to be catching, throwing a shoe around the cinema while he's supposed to be supervising. Now, it seems that he's got bored of the Academy Award nominated movie and decided, I'm going to make my own fun. Then who should he spy sitting with a group of kids playing Candy Crush on his phone but me? And he thought, oh, you know, it'll be funny. I'll throw a shoe at his head. Well, it wasn't funny at all, was it? And you're now sitting inside in Sing Sing, and I'm on the outside. I might go and do any number of things today. I might go to the zoo, look at all the animals. Go to the airport and pretend to be a chauffeur picking people up. I can do what I want. I'm a free man. Can't say the same for you, can I? And while we were watching The Revenant, the story of a man looking for revenge on a man who killed his son and left him for dead, I was struck by the message of mercy that Domhnall Gleeson's character seemed to exude. He was... See, it's about lads over in America, and it's in America from ages ago, so there's no cars or things like that, and they've got to try and find pelts, and the pelts are slang for animal bits, and they're selling the pelts to make money. And anyway, basically, it's a very pelt-based economy they had back then, and Domba Gleeson was the king of the pelts. And his character shows a sense of justice and kind of mercy that is quickly taken advantage of by some of the nastier characters in there. And I couldn't think that it mirrored myself and F***'s own ambivalence towards each other, vis-a-vis him throwing a shoe in the cinema. So I ask you all, or I would ask you all to say a prayer for him, but he's clearly, he can't be saved. So I'll ask you all, please, to think about that for the rest of the week, and please stand for the homily. You've been listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast by Giles Brody. You can follow me on Twitter at Giles Brody. Special thanks to Conor O'Toole, Emma Keaveney, and Jermaine O'Brien.